Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 16th chapter of St. John, the gospel text which has already been read. Be seated. For the first 18 years of my life, I had a hard time getting my bearings. Bruce Avenue, the street where I grew up, runs straight east and west. So our front yard was on the north side of the house, and our backyard was on the south side of the house, on the south of the house, and that was very straightforward. And then we'd get on 11th Street, go north through Rock Island, come to the Centennial Bridge, and go across into Iowa, which I knew to be west of Illinois, but we were still heading south, which I learned in school, the Mississippi flows north and south. Then there was the guerrillas. The guerrillas we were supposed to be fighting in Vietnam. I couldn't get my head around that either. Every evening, I would tune into CBS and listen to Walter Cronkite talk about the Viet Cong guerrillas. And I wasn't sure what that would look like, but it must be cool. U.S. soldiers in the jungle fighting against those apes. I took algebra in the eighth grade, did well, probably got an A. Geometry was harder, but I got it, mostly angles and the like. Next up, trigonometry, and that's when I hit the brick wall, mathematically speaking, sine, cosine. I didn't get it, didn't have a clue. And I said that to the teacher, and he told me that he explained it to me twice, and I should get it, but I didn't. Probably I didn't because I couldn't. Kind of like these disciples here, Jesus says to them, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But you cannot bear them now. So we backtrack on this fifth Sunday of Easter, back to Holy Week prior to Easter Sunday, the evening before Good Friday, Jesus in the garden with his disciples, waiting for the hammer to drop, and waiting for the coming of Judas. He passes time doing what he do. He's teaching them. And by this time, he has taught them a lot. They've been together for 3 years, sometimes apart like last week when he went solo, but mostly together. And during those 3 years, he did most of the talking. They did most of the listening. And they often had follow-up questions. And yet, after 3 years, he has barely scratched the surface of what there is to know about him, and they had hit their brick wall. He says to them, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear or carry them now. And let's break that sentence down. First of all, there's much more for them to learn about him. Secondly, those things that they should learn, in addition, they are unable to, the word is carry. Carry. Like, can you carry something or you can't you? I can carry a chair. I can't pick up this building and carry it. Just can't. These many things he has to teach them, they can't carry them. They can't pick them up any more than they could pick up this building, kind of like me in trigonometry, just can't. So when I turned 18, family tradition, you hop into a truck and haul grain. It wasn't the first time I'd seen a map, but it was the first time I paid attention. And oh, looky, looky, the Mississippi River runs east and west at the Centennial Bridge. That explains a lot. I understood. And at some point, I think I saw footage of a captured Viet Cong, and it didn't look like, oh, it's a different spelling. It's not the ape, it's a guerrilla fighter. Trigonometry, on the other hand, why? But by the sophomore year of high school, I was distracted, got my driving license, first car and the like, but likely my brain was not ready for trigonometry. Probably I shouldn't have ever been in that class. I think Piaget would probably say that if my brain was ready for algebra and geometry, then I should be able to do trigonometry, which is why I was probably in that class. And I tried to get it, but I couldn't. Just couldn't. Piaget talks about the four stages of development in the brain. Classical education talks about the grammar and rhetoric level of learning. And at 12 years old, more or less, the brain changes. The brain changes fundamentally. We don't teach algebra to the five-year-olds because they're incapable. By the age of 12, more or less, the brain is capable of what we call formal learning, like algebra and abstract thinking. And that's essentially what's going on here, spiritually speaking, when Jesus says to his disciples, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Spiritually speaking, you just can't. So there's more. And secondly, you are incapable now of understanding these things. Thirdly, that means that the day will come. You can't understand them now, but spiritually speaking, you'll get to the age of a 12-year-old, then you will be able to understand them. When? Right after this, he says when. When the Spirit of truth comes. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And the reference to the coming of the Spirit of truth, that's a reference to Pentecost, three Sundays down the road. And we've noted the fundamental change that occurs in these men at that time at Pentecost, almost like they spiritually reach the age of formal learning. And at Pentecost, these men do not just gradually transition from not getting it into slowly getting it. They take instead the quantum leap from one to the other, not getting it to, yeah, now we get it. They have learned the facts about Jesus at this point. We call that grammar level learning. Using logic, they are putting some of those facts together now, but at Pentecost, they talk like people who know what they're talking about. For the first time, they talk like people who know what they're talking about. I always told my high school students that I don't want to talk with you about a subject until you know what you're talking about. And I know that sounds shocking and harsh. What I mean, and I explain this, more shocking, I don't care what you think about, fill in the blank, until you have studied, fill in the same blank. Taught Western Civ a lot at the high school, and I told them I will have a conversation, for example, with you about Hobbes when you have read Hobbes, not before. And that happened quite a lot, actually. We turned out a lot of what we called lifelong learners by teaching our students how to learn. Lifelong learning is a good thing, it's a Christian thing. And if there's ever been an organization that promotes learning for the entire life, the Christian church is that. The Christian church is that. There's always more to learn, always more problems to solve. And if you grew up on the farm or the grain elevator, you became a lifelong learner and a problem solver. So the Spirit of truth here is the Holy Spirit. And from Pentecost on, we find the Holy Spirit in the church, not outside of the church. And the Holy Spirit does not dwell inside the non-Christian, but the Holy Spirit does dwell in the Christian. It's what gives us insight that the rest of humanity does not possess because they can't. They are unable to understand life, like I am unable to pick up this building. They just want to, but they just can't understand some of those things. Things about God, things about man. So yeah, try to do algebra without knowing your multiplication tables. Try to do geography without knowing how to use a map. Try to do English without being able to distinguish between gorilla, G-O-R-I-L-L-A, And guerrilla, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, that's grammar level learning. And it's why we used to call it the grammar school. And you need to know the facts before you can put those facts together using logic and a theology. Theology, same thing. People who do not know the facts of theology, which is the study of God, people who are ignorant of the facts about God, will never understand God. They'll never understand the world we live in. People who think they know the facts of theology, but they don't. People who think they know the facts, but don't. They have a lot of ideas about God. A lot of ideas about the world we live in. Ideals ranging from mostly wrong to totally off the wall. And I didn't know anybody would ever think like that. See modern philosophy for more on that. The theory of evolution comes to mind. And there's nothing more unscientific than the religion of evolution. Had a professor at seminar, I think. Somebody said, it's just a theory. He said, yeah, it's just a theory, but it's a pretty good theory, he said. And that stuck with me. Stuck with me. Our first house in Pittsburgh, Kansas, was on one side of town. The church was on the same side of town, a little bit across town. And Pittsburgh State University, home of the Gorillas, was in between our house and church. We could afford one car, so we rode our bikes a lot. And there's nothing like access to that university library. And it was really easy for me to stop on my way to work, park my bike right by the door, walk into the X library, and just peruse. And the science section was on the lower level. And one evening on my way home, I stopped and found myself looking at book after book on evolution. And I remembered, it's just a theory, but it's a pretty good theory. It's not. It's not. Being a Christian and a thinking person, and I like science, I checked out some of those books, and that's how I know it's not a very good theory. If I could summarize the content of those books on the theory and religion of evolution, they quoted each other a lot. They speculated a lot. They used the word probably more than I do. What was missing was things like evidence, things like logical thinking. One of the doctors in Iowa City used the term Occam's razor. Occam's razor, and I was impressed. She defined it correctly. The simplest explanation is usually the best explanation. I know that I thought about that. She's a doctor, actually a resident at a teaching hospital, and they think and they problem solve all the time, and sometimes it's a matter of life and death, and you have to think logically. You have to know things if you're going to be a doctor. I heard a lawyer use that term Occam's razor a couple weeks before, and I was impressed then too. Same thing. You better know how to think if you're going to be a lawyer. And the corollary to Occam's razor is that the more complicated the explanation, the worse. The more complicated an explanation, the worse. So the car won't start. Car won't start. What's wrong? Well, maybe it needs a tune-up. Or the computer went bad. Or the spark plug wire fell off or something like that. Maybe. Does it have gas? Oh, the gauge reads empty? Put some gas in it. See what happens. Those books on evolution, that's hard reading. When you're trying to explain something that isn't true, that has no basis in fact, it's complicated. And they try harder, but the farther down that path they go, the more ridiculous it all sounds, and it flies in the face of all known science. You've heard this before. Matter, and I guess energy, cannot be created or destroyed. That's a scientific fact, and there's more, and reference Ken Ham to pick it up on that one. So one of my jobs on Vicarage at Trinity Lutheran Church in Kalispell, Montana, was to visit the shut-ins, which I much enjoyed. And after a couple days, I told Pastor Reiner, my supervisor, very good teacher, that those people are lonely and they're interesting and I should visit those people every day. And he said, knock yourself out, vicar. So on one of my monthly visits to Mrs. Koenig, who lived in an apartment in town, you want to know about the old days? Just zip it up and listen to people who were around and who aren't around people very much. And she would talk about logging, talk about farming. She would talk about family. And whenever she talked about family, it was like Groundhog Day. She would get to her daughter, quote, she went to school in Bozeman. They really messed her up down there. They took her religion away from her. So William of Ockham, he was a monk. His name was William. He was born in the town of Ockham, Surrey, England, south of London. By then, the Christians had invented the university because we like education. He studied at Oxford, and William was a thinking man, and Occam's razor, also known as the law of parsimony, is the problem-solving principle, quote, simpler solutions are more likely to be correct than complex ones. So there was an explosion, and all this happened. Oh, wait. The universe did not suffer attrition, but became more. Either that, or the Almighty God created all this pretty much like we find it. This self-sustaining, living, life-giving ecosystem placed here for us and for our use and enjoyment. And he sent a flood that explains things like fossil fuel and layers in the Grand Canyon, for example. Reference Ken Ham for more of that. Speaking of theology, going there, the religions of the law, that is, all non-Christian religions, they're complicated. They're complicated. Thousands of different gods. Pray to this one for your crops. Pray to that one for your victory in war. Pray to another one for your children. And getting to heaven, if there is such a place, it's like that joke. I think the guy who took me bear hunting in Montana told me the joke first. What happens if we ride and run into a bear and starts chasing us? Well, we run. So we just have to outrun the bear. No, I just have to outrun you. With the religions of the law, that is, all the non-Christian religions, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be better than the rest. You just have to outrun the rest of humankind. It's complicated. And in some of those religions, you obey ritual and the laws of religions. In others, and this is becoming increasingly common, you just make up your own laws, your own morality. And I know people who do that. Some of them call themselves Christians. Not all Christians are the same. Christianity is pretty simple. Either you're a believer in Jesus Christ, or you're not. And that's not very complicated, is it? Even after the flood, sin remained in the world. Because of Adam, all people are born sinful. We call that original sin. It's why we think what we think. It's why we say what we say. It's why we do what we do. God came into the world and died on the cross after his perfect death to pay for our sins, earning for us what we cannot get for ourselves. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. And by the way, it's a good thing for you and me to come here every Sunday and call ourselves poor, miserable sinners, to kind of remind ourselves of our place in the universe in relation to God. That's Divine Service 3. Or we might confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. Or we might ask Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. It's a good thing to remind us of who we are, what we need, and it's a good thing because confession leads to absolution, which follows right after confession. The words of forgiveness spoken into your ear. And here you see in the bread and wine the body and blood of Jesus given for you for the forgiveness of sins. And every time you hear those words, like at the beginning of the service, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you think of your baptism, where simple water was more than simple water only. A lot of things going on there, and it's not that complicated. And that's a good starting point, isn't it, for understanding God, life, humans. And these people that Jesus told them, you can't bear it all now, but later on you will be able to bear it. Pentecost comes, and they preached, and they get it, and they talk like people know what they're talking about, and they wrote it down. And they wrote it down. Call it the New Testament. And people who don't have the Holy Spirit, who are not Christians, they can read the New Testament, and they are like the child before the age of 12, more or less. I read what they write, and they don't get even the very basic, clear messages of the Bible because they can't. And they sound about as silly as the evolutionist sounds when it comes to the theology. They can't. They read the Bible, they get the facts, but they can't understand it. They don't have the Holy Spirit. We do. We do, and we can. So they wrote it down, and we call it the New Testament. And if you want to know about God and His creation, including man, the relationship of God with His creation, including man, that's the best place to look for that sort of knowledge. Within you, you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says to you, I have many things to say to you, and now you can carry them. Now you can bear them, and you do. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. This time we receive the offerings.